This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show. We are brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one Cochrane shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. A great stop if you're headed out to Steelers training camp right by the live casino off Route 30. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. Text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. And Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters Township. Or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. Nate the Great Haluschek is taking the call behind the glass right now, 412-928-9370. We have a lot to get into, beginning with Friday Night Lights last night for the Steelers. And by the way, we have another of our training camp specials coming up tonight on KDKA-TV, 11:35. It's FedEx Steelers training camp, all access. That's tonight after the late news on KDKA. In the meantime, last night, it's been a long time, 4 years, 2019, the last time that the Steelers had their Friday Night Lights at Latrobe Memorial Stadium, and this was a rousing success. You can tell fans wanted to be part of it from all over. Almost 14,000 people there. That's the largest crowd they've ever had, 13,957. And it does inspire players. I don't think there's any question about that. They get a rush out of it. It breaks the monotony a little bit of this training camp. Kenny Pickett put on a show the day before. He didn't look all that comfortable, and you're going to have those kind of days when you practice seven straight days, and it's the same old, same old. But Pickett last night was 11 for 12 unofficially with two touchdowns, no interceptions. And when he's on, he's on. Pretty good accuracy, using a lot of different people. Calvin Austin, the young receiver, slot guy who did not play last year because of his season-long injury. He made some nice plays, and he's gotten better as the camp has gone on from what I've seen. Kendrick Green may have been the big story of the night. Who would have thought that, Nate? Kendrick Green. He actually lined up as a fullback because they really don't have anybody listed as a fullback. You could put Connor Hayward in that role. But, Nate, would you have ever thought that Kendrick Green would be getting a big applause from that crowd after he not only lined up, he pancaked a few guys as a fullback, but he also caught a pass and then ran over a linebacker? Who would have thought that?
Definitely not me, and it's definitely nice to see that he's making some contributions.
He also lined up at center. He's guard. I mean, you know his story. He's the odd man out, really, on that offensive line. Whether or not he even makes his team is debatable. But if you can show that you can do something like that, who knows? He did pancake, I believe it was Quincy Roche. So, linebackers don't want to be run over like that in any practice. And that was the case last night. So the Steelers continue to, progress. We'll see them in action this week. It's the first preseason game, KDKA-TV, that'll be on this Friday from Tampa, going down there and seeing a totally different Tampa team without Tom Brady. Baker Mayfield was brought in. And it will be interesting to see how much playing time some of these veterans get and how much playing time should Kenny Pickett get. Offensive line with some new guys. I think they need some time together, certainly. And I'm not sure exactly what the situation will be with playing time with veterans. I don't expect to see Cam Hayward. I don't expect to see T.J. Watt. I don't expect to see Najee Harris, quite frankly. They have other guys who need to get time in there. Kenny Pickett should play. It is his second year, and they have to continue to progress. And I'd like to see some big-time plays over the middle, down the sidelines, more, just to see what it looks like. George Pickens looks ready for prime time after he's put on a show, but I got to give Joey Porter Jr. a lot of credit, too. He was a guy who, you know, got victimized by that George Pickett one-hand leaping catch. Now, both of those guys I thought were guilty of penalties, theoretically, but that's a good non-call. Joey was grabbing a little bit. Pickens was pushing off a little bit. But that play was won by George Pickens. However, Joey Porter Jr. came back later in that practice, made an interception. He's made another one since. He doesn't look like he's going to be fazed by all of this. One thing I will say is that in a game, if George Pickens does what he did after the catch, he's going to get flagged for taunting. You can't throw the ball at a guy. And, of course, this is just a practice, but you can't do that. And if you do, you're going to get a penalty. So those are things also. And we've seen also Kenny Robinson got a couple of taunting situations. You know, you got those are things Mike Tomlin does not want to see in practice. If it's in practice, it carries over into games. And you can't have that, especially after big plays. If you throw the ball into someone's chest, you're going to get flagged for taunting, and it will erase all the good work that you've done. All right, we got the Steelers coming up. We'll talk about that. And I also want to talk about the situation with Jake Guentzel. Ankle surgery out of the blue. He's been playing in Minnesota in this league, which I'm not sure what it is, but he's been playing there. And if he had an ankle injury, then that's something I don't know if it was suffered there. The team basically said it was a lingering thing, and they have now said that it'll be 12 weeks before he's reevaluated. If you do the math, that takes you into the regular season. They obviously need Jake Guentzel. He is looking for a new deal after Tom Wilson got one at 7 years and almost $46 million. I think Jake Guentzel is a better player than Tom Wilson, although the difference, certainly, Tom Wilson fits in with what they're doing. And remember, when they won a cup, Tom Wilson was a significant contributor on their offense. He had a lot of points in that playoff run when they won the Stanley Cup. But they're roughly the same age. How much is Jake Guentzel worth? And what happens with Erik Karlsson? And how does this all figure out moving forward with all these high-priced salaries? I'd like to hear from you at 412-928-9370. We'll get into the Pirates eventually. I know Josh Rountree just did a whole 2 hours on it, and there are a lot of problems there, a lot of potentially bright spots, but a lot more question marks than anything else. But I want to also get into what is happening with college football. How much realignment can we see? And it goes on and on. First, we saw UCLA and USC move into the Big Ten. Okay. Now, all of a sudden this week, you have Oregon and Washington who are moving into the Big Ten, which is now going to have to rename itself the Big 18. It's the biggest conference going. The Pac-12 is completely imploded. What do they do with the remaining teams? Who's left?
Stanford, Cal, Oregon State, Washington State.
And Washington State. If I'm the ACC, I'm going to all those schools because Florida State is yapping here that they don't want to be around the ACC. You can't afford to lose them. And what does Pitt do in all of this? If Florida State should leave, Clemson won't be far behind, and then what? So if I'm the ACC, I actively go after what is left of the Pac-12. You're still going to have those schools playing West Coast football, but different. I mean, it is just a wild, wild west out there. You know, it started with the NIL, transfer portal. Now all of a sudden teams are going all over the country, and I never thought you'd see a conference, which back in the, you know, to me, good old days was, based on geographic rivalries more than anything. You know, don't spend a lot of money on travel. Now you got teams in New Jersey, in Southern California, in the middle of the state, in the south of the state. I mean, they're putting on, and West Virginia went through this when they went to the Big 12. So I don't know what happens with Pitt, and I don't know how they should react to all of this. But the last thing you want to be, Nate, you don't want to be one sitting and then waiting when it's all said and done and you didn't actively go after something and you're left behind, like the Pac-12 teams are.
Yeah, and especially, you know, a lot of this stuff I feel has been exacerbated by the pandemic. I feel like a lot of schools lost money during that, and they've been trying to find ways to recoup it quickly. And I think the ones that are being more aggressive are going to be the ones that are going to be left in a conference. But, I mean, it's just silly now that the Big Ten has more teams than the AFC. It's silly.
It's pretty unbelievable, to be honest with you. But that's the way it is. At 412-928-9370, what do you think Pitt should do, if anything? What happens to West Virginia, if anything? You know, it's just crazy what's going on here and some of these realignment issues that never seem to die away. You just think, I remember last year at this time, okay, I thought it was going to settle down, and all of a sudden the poaching continues. 412-928-9370. And as far as the Pirates are concerned, Mitch Keller, what in the world has happened? I remember Neil Heaton. I remember what happened to Neil Heaton. He was an all-star for the first half of the season, and then fell off completely after that. This is concerning to me. Nate, you cannot have a guy you're counting on. First of all, I don't know what that does to contract docs. They didn't want to trade him, fine. And I agreed with that. But what if you're them, do you sign him now or wait? What do you do? If you sign him now, you might get him to be at a cheaper price. But you're also not sure what he is because he's got an 0-4 record with a 9.95 ERA, the worst in baseball in the second half of the season.
Yeah, not only not doing well, I mean, he's 7, 8, 9 runs. It's just, he's been not just bad, he's been the worst pitcher in baseball, it feels like, since the calendar turned over.
You can blame that potentially on fatigue, but it shouldn't be that way. He's 27, going to be 28. I think, you know, he hasn't pitched this many innings maybe, but so what? You got to get better as the season goes on. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Quinn Priester, who's now 2-1, but with an 8.69 ERA. The Pirates did get some offense last night, but they got guys coming in and out of the lineup. The lineup has changed over and over again. What do they do with Davis? Are they messing with him mentally? What about Alfonso Rivas? Can he be their first baseman in the future? I don't know. Lots to get into. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to the Fan Hotline, which is brought to you by Nemacolin, the place that makes magic happen. We got the counselor joining us right now on line one. Hey, counselor.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. You?
That's fine. Listen, regarding the Pirates, I just wish there would be a little more, accountability. I mean, they were throwing a ball around, and, you know, after this, the lollipop throw by Swiginski, fine, all right. But then, I know Palacios hit the home run, and it's great. But he just couldn't even hit the cutoff band. I mean, what are we going backwards here? We're trying to, you know, we're down to Little League anymore?
Well, thanks, Counselor. I mean, you know, listen, fundamental baseball is important. You got to play it, especially when you don't have much offense. And they've done stuff all season long that makes you wonder, you know, why this is happening. Jack Swiginski, I'm not going to blame him. He had one error in the last year, and this was it. Since last June to this August, I don't think he's a problem defensively at all. I think he's rather good. But they do some – and Henry Davis the other night in that 14-1 game had that turned inside out. I don't blame Henry Davis at all. He's being thrown into position. He's learning on the fly. And it may be affecting his batting. I don't know what their future plans are here. I'm glad to see he got into a game to catch, although he got ripped apart by the national announcer. I think it was A.J. Pruszynski. I mean, it's the first time he's caught, okay? The problem with this season as I see it right now is unless they just put guys – I want to see what guys can do in whatever positions they think they're going to be, holding in the future. I want to see Henry Davis catch, and not just one inning in a 14-1 game. I want to see what he can do, evaluate him based on that. If you have a platoon situation with him and Andy Rodriguez, a catcher, and move around at first or right to get their bats in, okay, just decide and let's see it in play. With regard to the power positions, they don't have any. Brian Hayes has no power. Triolo's okay, but he's a duplicate copy. Maybe a better average hitter, but he has no power. And then at first base, Rivas, okay, he went 3-for-4 last night, hit a home. Maybe he's the guy. I'm not going to rule him out only because he has some experience. But if he doesn't, what do they have? You know, Malcolm Nunez is a project. We don't know. We know Mason Martin's been up and struggled. And what do they got to do? They need power somewhere in this lineup, not just Jack Swiginski. Reynolds finally hit a home run. He's gotten better, 13 home runs, but you need more from him. You got to have power in today's baseball, and they just don't have it. 412-928-9370. They'll play game. Now, this is a Mitch. It's an interesting bet tonight. You got the kid named Falter, which is a bad name if you are a pitcher. It's like Chris Blewett as a kicker. Falter for the Pirates, who just was acquired in the trade, 0-7 with a almost 6 ERA against Corbin Burnes. Now, I'm sure the betting odds, if you check into that, Nate, they're probably astronomical against the Pirates. But if you want to make a bet and make some money potentially, that would be the one to go after. Just put some money on the Pirates because you never know how things are going to go. Corbin Burnes should eat them up, which he's done before. But Falter may just falter in his Pirate debut too. So whatever the case may be, that's going to be, at least it looks like, a mismatch. But in baseball, you never know how things are going to go. Last night, the Pirates got 8 runs. They got 4 home runs. Didn't see that coming. I got to say that Carlos Santana is playing pretty well with Milwaukee. hit a home run last night. He's had multiple hit games already. He's playing a solid first base. Nate, what did you think of the comment to Jason Mackey that he said, I would love to be back in Pittsburgh? I say no to that. As much as I appreciate what he's done, Carlos Santana.
You know, we're talking about first base, and I think that he plays the position well. He's had some clutch hits for them, but he's also 37. I don't think he's going to be the long-term answer there. And I'd like to see what they have, like you said, give this Rivas, give these other guys a chance. We know what we're going to get in Carlos Santana, and I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to be earth-shattering or take this team to the next level. So I'd rather see what they have. I mean, Santana, I appreciated everything he did here, but it's not like he was some sort of all-star.
Which leads us to Miguel Andujar, who's hitting 365 in the minors, which is not unusual for him. He's dominated minor league hitting, been up and down, and every time he comes up, that average disappears. However, this is a situation where he's still, 28 years old? He was a former first-round pick. I don't know if I totally give up on him, especially now that they're searching for some sort of power somewhere in this lineup. He has 15 home runs in AAA. We will see. 412-928-9370. We're just getting started. I want to remind you, the Jam Fest is back August the 12th at North Park. It's a 3-on-3 basketball tournament for grades 3 through adult, recreation, and adult championship groups. All team tickets proceeds and benefit Folds of Honor, which is a great charity helping military families. There will be food trucks. The thing tips off at 10 a.m. They're going to be a Coach Dave Gray Kids Zone. And if you want more details and if you want to register, it's a fun event, go to events page at 937thefan.com. We are back and rolling along at 412-928-9370, talking all things Steelers as well as the Pirates and their dilemmas and what we think about college football. And I asked the question, if you have skin in the game, and if you're a Pitt fan, you do, what does Pitt do? Does it sit idly by in the ACC waiting for things to change? Florida State is yapping a lot. They're really looking like they are not satisfied with the payout distribution, and they want to move on. If they do, Clemson will certainly follow, and then what happens? I would be actively looking at all the remaining remnants of the Pac-12 and saying, come on over here. Let's do this, even though you're so far away. But that's obviously doesn't matter anymore. 412-928-9370. Let's go on to Title Man joins us right now to start this segment. What's up, Title Man? How are you?
Probably fans right now. I'm somewhat anxious to see what happens. You know, before I really get into the thing with the ACC, I just want to say I've really enjoyed, and this is part of the thing about college football that they're going to be destroying with these long distance games. And I really enjoy, look forward every year picking out road trips to go to during the football season. This year will probably be Vautech and Wake Forest. So I always try to go different places. I've been multiple times to North Carolina, Vautech, UVA, Boston College, Syracuse. And this is a big part of the college football experience, the road trips. And God forbid, you know, if you're from Rutgers and you just decide, hey, I think I'll take that road trip out to Washington. I mean, it's 3,000 miles. It's not going to happen. But I don't know what to tell you to do because, you know, everybody's going to be jumping. And I'm not confident as to where we're going to land.
So would you advise Heather like just to stay put or be active if you were in charge?
I think she has to be active, completely under the table or off the record. You can't have stories being leaked that she's trying to bail. You have to be very discreet about it. And I think she's got to do what's right by Pitt. That may not necessarily be what is right for the ACC. But, you know, the ACC didn't have any problem with poaching Boston College, Vautech, and Miami back at a time when the Big East was a pretty decent football conference.
Right, you're exactly right. So I don't know. Thanks for the call, Title Man. I don't know what the proper move here, other than being active. You got to call, get this stuff. You just don't want to be sitting idly by, because if you do, what's going to happen is you're going to be left out looking for something, and you don't want to be in one of those other conferences. The Mountain West may be the team or the conference that makes out the most if they invite those four leftover Pac-12 schools in there. Who knows? But Arizona State, they all went to the Big 12. I mean, there's so much realignment going on, it's hard to keep track of. Herb joins us right now in Greenfield. Hey, Herb, what's going on?
Okay, Bob, I like your idea about some type of merger between the ACC and the Pac, what's left of the Pac 10, or whatever they want to call it. I think it would solve two problems. You could call it the Atlantic and Pacific Coast Conference. And then it would may solve the problem. What happens to the Rose Bowl?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that was the pairings of the Big Ten and the Pac-12. And right. Now it's one in the same. It's going to be the Big 18 and nothing left with the Pac-12. I don't know. They're going to have to obviously change that around.
An affiliation between the two is of some kind. Probably would solve two problems at the same time. Yeah. My feeling is, anyway.
Well, all I know is that it's a mess right now. And while I think Pitt has been one of the best teams in the ACC, I think they have a prominent voice. And I think it's going to take leadership to try to figure out what they got to do here, because you do not want to be sitting idly along where all of a sudden, let's hypothetically, you know, if Florida State leaves and they're making it sound like they're going to do something.
Yeah.
You know, Miami and Clemson are two teams also that are two programs that maybe say, you know what, we're going to be active here too. I can't predict what it's going to be like because, the money distribution is driving everything right now.
Very stationary. It wouldn't help anything, I think.
Well, we'll see. All right, thanks, sir. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. I just know that as far as this year is concerned, the Pitt Panther football team isn't getting all that much respect. Pick sixth. I understand why. You know, they went from Kenny Pickett to Slovis, a quarterback, and now Phil Jurkovec, who I thought had a pretty decent run at Boston College, now is here. Christian Veyer will be likely the backup, a transfer from Penn State. I think Pitt, you know, one thing Pat Narduzzi has done is he's brought in guys who somehow go under the radar in terms of being a 3-, 4-, 5-star recruit, but he puts together teams that are very, very successful. And I hope that continues this year. Because he's made the turn, it looks like to me, as Pitt is one of the best teams in the ACC and should be looked at that way. I know they've had a lot of turnover and lost some great players. That's the other thing about Pitt. Somehow, some way, they develop really good NFL players. Lots of them. We saw Darrell Revis last night get the gold jacket. He'll be inducted tonight. Mike Tomlin was there. He missed the Friday Night Lights to be there. And Rondé Barber had some unbelievable things to say about Mike Tomlin when they were together in 2001 back with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, and soon to follow would be Larry Fitzgerald, Aaron Donald, obviously. You can put Shady McCoy in that conversation. So there's a lot of tradition at Pitt, and certainly a way of getting to the NFL. That would be something I would tell recruits all day long, till I'm blue in the face. You come to Pitt, we'll get you ready for the NFL. That's your ticket. 412-928-9370. Back to the fan hotline. We got Ray in Whitehall next up. Hey, Ray.
Hey, how you doing? In regards to Henry Davis and his future out on the field, he may be able to work it out at PNC in right field because he doesn't have a lot of area to cover with the short porch. But I'm still concerned about him going on the road. And I also want to say, and I hate to say this, but if the Pirates just have to tell him, if they can't find a position for him, then he's just going to have to DH.
Well, that would be a waste of a number one overall pick, wouldn't you say?
But if he has such a good bat and he can't find a defensive position, what are you going to do?
But they had to know that when evaluating him, taking him one overall. To me, you can't spend the first overall draft pick on a designated hitter unless his bat is so good and so potentially hot that he'll hit 40 home runs every year, bat 300, and drive in 120.
Okay,
you got to find a position for him, Ray.
Okay, but one other possibility. If they're saying that, have they permanently given up on him as a catcher, or is it possible that they could alternate him like with Rodriguez, where one guy is a DH and the other guy is a catcher, because maybe the season gets too grueling early on in their career, and then hopefully they can work it out somewhere else?
I mean, that's a possibility. I think a platoon with each of them could be. I mean, Rodriguez would be your number one catcher. Henry Davis could, you know, get in there on a couple of days a week, whatever the case may be. If their bats both are in play, then yes, I wouldn't mind that. I think at times when you're the Pirates, they keep saying they're going to give Henry Davis a shot. And so if you say it, mean it, show it to me. Not just one inning and a 14-1 route. I want to see more than that. And the only way you're going to define the rest of the season about core players is to see what they can do when given the situation. You have 2 months to play with here. Do something that shows people that I got to find out. This is an evaluation process. Now, they put Davison right. They're giving him a long look there. That's a tough position to play if you're not used to playing it. And he's been, you know, not good defensively, quite frankly. He's got a great arm, but he can't, you know, he takes circular routes to get to balls over his head. And it's not fair to him, I think. But I just hope his bat is what they expect it to be. Because if it's not and they don't have a position for him, then what?
Yeah, he does. He can hit. I mean, I like his patience at the plate. I think he has good plate coverage. And I just hopefully it'll work out.
All right, man. Thanks very much. Appreciate the call. 412-928-9370. Pirates will be in action today in what looks like a mismatch. Falter for the Pirates, Burns for the Brewers. One's 0-7, one's a Cy Young winner. So you make the call on that one. The Pirates are going to have to figure out a way to get some runs on and hope that Falter doesn't falter. 412-928-9370. Again, our program is brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one, Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. They got a new Ford dealership in Murraysville. You got to check that out, Monroeville. And then Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. Iron Rock Tap House is a great play to go before or after you visit training camp. It's near the live casino in Greensburg. Welcome back, everyone, as we roll along at 412-928-9370. PNC Bank, make today the day. One of our big-time sponsors. Thank you, PNC. As is number one, Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. And Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about at Iron Rock Tap House. Great place to hang out and watch sports and mingle. Just a great social environment there in Greensburg. Let's go back to the lines. We got a lot of people want to talk about all these issues we've been getting into today, beginning with Rob in the car. Rob, you are on. Go ahead.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you. You?
I am doing well. Thank you. Heading out to the golf course here. I just wanted to touch base on the conference realignment. So I feel personally that the ACC and the Pac-12 really weren't that much different. Obviously, there was, the big issue of the Pac-12 TV contract running up, which was sort of the catalyst for this. But if you put the shoe on, I think the ACC would have been in the same situation. I think the Pac-12 would have said, hey, we have a ironclad contract till 2032. We have some teams who want to get out. And I think you would have seen the same thing happen in the ACC. So I think it's inevitable that the ACC will break up before 2032, because you're going to see the Big Six who want to get out, and you're going to see the others who are going to get nervous that Big 12, which has turned into the leftovers conference, essentially, you're going to see those fools get nervous that they're going to miss the boats on the Pac-12. So I think before all the lawsuits get started and those Big Six try to get out, I do think you're going to see those other ACC teams probably and eventually come up with something that's going to happen before 2032.
Thanks, Rob. I really feel that Pitt has to be proactive. You have to, in this climate, you have to be proactive. You mentioned the Big 12 now. Arizona went there. I said they would. Colorado, Arizona State, Utah, they're all leaving. All these teams, and then USC, UCLA, now Oregon, now Washington. It's just a dismantlement of that situation. And again, the thing, if I would be Pitt or any team in the ACC, I'd be nervous that Florida State is really talking about moving on and not satisfied with the distribution of this money. So it's all about money. But I wonder how difficult it will be to win a conference when you have 18 teams in one, like the Big 10, 12, 18, whatever you want to call them moving forward. That's a tough thing to do. It used to be Michigan, Ohio State. Now you're going to have a ton of teams in there, and who knows, how that'll work out. Penn State, you'll like it, but at the same time, it makes it more difficult to win your conference. And what happens to the Rose Bowl? You can't have the Rose Bowl anymore, right? Unless you call it the Thorn Bowl. Because, again, there's nothing left.
Or, what you do is you just have the Big Ten West teams face off against the Big Ten East teams, and you have it at the Rose Bowl, and that's your Big Ten championship.
So much more. A lot of fluid going on here. Fluidity, moving parts. Harry in Harmony is going to join us right now with his take. What's up, Harry? How are you?
Hello, Pomp. How you doing today, bud? Always really enjoy this this time of Saturday.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, I hate to speed talk you, but a couple of quick power points, and then I just have one college football note. I really think that the inconsistencies in the lineups, you know, you take Jack Sawinski and bat him first, you know, the only guy who hits home runs. And, you know, at first I didn't like the idea of Henry Davis right field, but then when I see the arm out there, it's great. So, you know, just get the kid the reps out there and let him keep going. Wandy at first, but they got to stabilize this lineup in these positions if next year, in fact, is going to be a year that we turn the corner. And
first of all, let me just interrupt you there, Harry, before you go on. I'm tired of hearing about anything but wins and losses. It's time. And Ben Cherington this week said on numerous occasions that they got to win as fast as they can. Well, that puts a lot of emphasis on a lot of things, including the owner, to open up the wallet book even more. You can't just, you know, bring in guys you're going to flip at the deadline every year. That seems to be the way they handle free agency in the offseason. One-year deal, bring them in, we'll flip them and get more. You keep flipping, and then you don't see much progress in the minors, you know, throughout. You see a few guys who you have earmarked as guys who should be able to produce, and then after that, a bunch of just question marks.
Yeah, that's for sure. And with the pitching, how many times do we have to see, you know, a Charlie Morton, a Garrett Cole, a Tyler Glass? Now we're looking at Keller, you know, is he going to be that same guy somewhere else? And, you know, the managing of Quinn Priester, you know, really rough in those first couple of days. He let him rot on the vine when he was down 3-0 in his first start. He, you know, finished an inning with a strikeout. You could have pulled him right then and had him a positive. The other game that he won where we luckily scored a bunch of runs, you know, he let him in there, you know, come out for the sixth. He already was in line for a win. He brings him out for the sixth. He walks the bases loaded, and all that good work was shot. I think Shelton, you know, as much as he seems like a great guy, you know, they need a really seasoned manager if you're going to put these pieces together.
Let me first of all, about the Priester. Yeah. I understand that point you make there, Harry, but I will also then counter with this. How are you going to get better in pressure situations if you've never given one? This is why I don't like the fact that Jack Sawinski is never in there against left-hand pitcher. This is the time to do it. This is the time. And last night it was great to see that Quinn Priester got out of a bases-loaded, no-out situation in the fourth inning. Now, you got a good call by the umpire because, quite frankly, Yelich should have walked and they should have had a run in. He was wild, but he got out of that mess. At some point, you got to say, all right, this is your show. Show me what you can do. I'd rather see that than walking around. And I get what you're saying. You know, positive confidence takes time to build. But in Sawinski's case, how's he going to get better hitting left-hand hitting or left-hand pitching without actually facing it? You can't platoon everyone.
Yeah, that is true. In the Priester case, I just think the first two starts, be careful then, you know, as the rest of the second half of the season goes, let them go. Thanks so much, Pop. Last point on the college football, the one thing I could see positive coming out of all these realignments is I think instead of these stupid bowl games, meaningless bowl games, get into rivalry games at the end of the year. You know, if USC and UCLA aren't playing for a big game, put those two together. Pitt, West Virginia, you know, Penn State, you know, Ohio State. Anything that's a big rivalry could be a much more entertaining watch at the end of the year than you know, Idaho versus yeah, you know, Texas.
Well, the problem with that, Harry, is it gets, when you have 18 teams, it's hard. There are a lot of good rivalries that are inborn in that conference already. Thanks for the call. Really do appreciate it. We're moving along to Rich in Forest Hills. Rich joins us right now on the Nemecolon Hotline. What's up, Rich?
Bob, you become part of my weekend. I
appreciate that. Thanks.
I think about you like I think about my lawnmower.
So that's not necessarily a good thing. You might have a love-hate relationship with the lawnmower.
I love my lawnmower.
Okay.
Hey, I got to tell you, I've talked to you about this before. I couldn't agree more with that last caller. I think Shelton is a knucklehead. I don't think anybody will close their eyes and think of him as a young Jim Leland. I mean, this team is not going to the World Series. They're going to struggle to not finish last in their division. Now's the time to be building confidence. I mean, I think you could say that Glasnow was a perfect example of that. His confidence was shot here. He was never going to succeed here. He has talent, and he was able to show it elsewhere. You know, just give these guys the ball and let them run their ERA up to, you know, 17 is, to me, it's just idiotic. You know, I'd rather shut down Keller for the rest of the year, you know, put him on the phantom, got low back pain, put him on the Charlie Hayes kid's disabled list status. I don't understand it. What's the point? You know, let's build on the positives here. There'll be plenty of pressure situations. There's no pressure on a team that's going to finish in the, you know, in the bottom five of the league. I mean, these aren't real pressure situations that they're going to relate to when they're actually in a World Series. You think Tyler Glasnow is going to, when he's pitching in the World Series this year, is going to think back to the time that he had to spend, you know, the extra two-thirds of an inning he had to pitch in Pittsburgh after he already gave up five runs, and how am I going to limit it to six?
First of all, I don't know if Tyler Glasnow is going to be pitching the World Series. I don't know if Tampa's going to get there now all of a sudden.
I agree. Aren't they an interesting team? You know, they're below 500 in their last 50 games. If you've seen that stat, I know you have. But,
yeah, that's a great division. The Yankees are in last place, and they're over 500. But and then you contrast that.
Yeah, but you understand my general point about it's player management. I mean, I think there are some players that need to get chewed out, and I think there's some players that need to be babied a little bit. Or, you know, I think I'll just leave you with this. I think Keller is struggling to find that level. He's between a 4A and a major league pitcher. You know, last year wasn't who he was, and this year before the All-Star break, it isn't who he is. He's somewhere in between there. There needs to be some nuance in the management of these pitchers in particular. They're a precious commodity within this organization. They can't afford to screw up any of these guys, let alone a couple of them.
All right, man. Rich, I appreciate it. Go to that lawnmower and do that work out there. I'm sure you're going to do a good job. Thanks for the call. Let's squeeze in Mike in Peters Township before we go to our update coming up here with Nate Haluschek. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Bob, I'd like to review Andujar. He's leading the International League and all leagues in batting.
Yep.
He's
batting every number one position when it comes to offensive stats, yes.
Okay. Yes. So in run batted in, the one interesting thing is he only strikes out 14% of the time. That's very high. He's in every category for the Pirates minor league system. He's better than, well, at the major league level and at the minor league.
Here's the problem and the conundrum that he faces. This dates back to not just his time in Pittsburgh, but every time he's gotten promoted to the majors, he has failed miserably in terms of average based on what his minor league numbers were. So I don't know if that is going to continue, but I will say this, because they have 2 months left and they are trying things out, there's no reason not to give him one more final opportunity, because he is earning it. If he wasn't earning it, I wouldn't do it. But since he is, and since they lack offensive punch right now, why not? That would be my take. Thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. You got much more coming up, another hour, and then it's Donnie Football for 5 hours this afternoon before Josh Rountree returns with North Shore Tavern leadoff show prior to the Pirates and the Milwaukee Brewers. Also want to remind you that coming up tonight, 11:35 on KDKA, we have our FedEx Steelers training camp all-access final training camp show. I'll be joined by Charlie Batch, Rich Walsh, Jerry Dulac. Join us for that, 11:35 on KDKA. And this coming week, we got the first of three preseason games, also on KDKA-TV. It's Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay without Tom Brady, but with Baker Mayfield. That's this Friday. In the meantime, it's time to check fan weather, brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer is here. Come check out Trailblazer, Equinox, and all the new redesigned 2024 tracks online at sunchevy.com. Today, it's partly cloudy, partly sunny, depending on how you want to view that. Less humid, high of 82. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 65. Tomorrow, you're going to have some increasing chance of a potential thunderstorm, depending on where you are, high of 82 degrees.